Good morning, everyone. It's so great to be back here. We were sharing with Barb in a number of years before. Last time we were here was just when Paul Brunson was deciding to move to Sarnia. And nobody's seen him since, so I suspect, you know, praise God, I see his brother Connie from time to time, so it doesn't look like he's doing very, very badly or anything, but it's so great, too, to be back here with you. And I have a connection as well with the Lott family, and it's really, really nice, too, to see, you know, Earl Gain and, of course, Durrell's from Bancroft area, and it was really nice. My father was Don Cairns, and my stepmother was Hannah. And, of course, I have two brothers, Jamie and John, and it's so wonderful, too, to know that my father and my stepmom, they're with the Lord, and it's so great to know that, and it's a reaffirming, reassuring that they are with the Lord, and someday we'll see them all again, as well as our loved ones that we'll see, too, that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and of course, when we move on to glory, we'll be together with them again. So, thank you, Melinda, for that beautiful opening. It was very, very nice. If you have your Bibles, this morning we're going to be talking about time. Has anyone ever come up to you and said to you, do you have the right time? Or do you know what time it is? How would you respond to that? Would you immediately grab your watch and say, well, yes, it's this amount of time? Or would you say, oh, no, I don't have the time. I don't have a watch. I can't give you that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 right through to 15, if you would, please. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. What does time mean to you? Have you ever thought about that? What does time mean in your life? Sometimes we have to think about stepping up, don't we? Sometimes we have to think about being able to step up and hear God's voice, calling us to surrender our lives to his service. I'll be asking you a number of times throughout a message this morning about your time and where you're at in your time. And if you indeed do have time, I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to the building of the body of Christ in our country today is the lack of passion on behalf of men and women for using what God has given us for his glory. God has given us, each and every one of us, so much that it is overwhelming when one stops to think about these things about time. We take so much for granted, don't we, in our lives? So again, what about your time? James wrote to the church and said in 1 James 1, 16-18, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." James makes things quite clear here, doesn't he? Because what he's trying to tell us is that every good gift that's present in your life and mine is a gift straight from the hand of the Almighty God. The fact that we woke up this morning and was able to get out of bed is nothing more than a gift. Do you ever think about that? Often we overlook these things. But it's a gift from God. My wife, my grown children, grandchildren, they're a gift. Precious blessings I don't deserve, but a gift from God. The job I had, your jobs, was given by God in his infinite grace. The fact that you and I are able to pay our bills each month is due to God's goodness that he gives to each of us. The family, friends we enjoy, they're a gift from God, my friends. The clothes that we have on our backs are a present from him. The air we breathe is a reminder of the grace that he gives us. He's so good, isn't he? All of the time. We glory in his blessings, taking pride in what we've accomplished, while we overlook the fact that, as Jesus said, what? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Not only can we do nothing, but we would have nothing, be nothing, and enjoy nothing part from his gracious hand that is always at work, seeking to bless us. We're suffering today from an acute lack of awareness of God's gifts given to us. We've attributed our success, the things that we own, the jobs we hold, the time we use, and the relationships we enjoy to our own ingenuity and intestinal fortitude. We tend to become what? Self-centered. We land successes. We think, well, you know, I'm a good manager. I think I'm a good manager. This would be a good time to pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity this morning that we're able to gather all together. And I thank you for the family of God. I thank you for the love and the joy that we have to be able to worship and honor you, the time you've given us this morning to share that before your great throne of grace. And Lord, I too thank you for this chapel. I thank you, Father, for each and every one that come out today. I thank you, dear God, for those too that were unable to make it out today. I pray for them. And too, Father, I pray for Marty and his family during this time. And Father, just be his portion, be his peace, his comfort. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the blessings, Father, that we take so much for granted. And Lord, I just praise you and honor you. And I pray that the message that you've put upon your servant's heart this morning, that it will bless each and every one of those here today. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to devote time to prayer and study. Do we do that? Did you get that? Devote time to prayer and study so that we can learn more about how to be good and faithful servants to our great God. And the reason for that is this. Look what, if you think about this for a moment, look what he showered upon us in our lives. Have you ever thought about that? We all need to learn about being good stewards, don't we? Gifts that God continues to shower in our lives. All of the time. I have to caution you at this point. I do not know what God will show me or you where he will lead us. None of us are aware of that. It concerns what? The investments of our time, abilities, our finances. But I do know this from past experiences with God. He will challenge you and take you far beyond your comfort zone. It's the only place at that point, the place beyond where we are comfortable, where his greatest blessings rest. My prayer for all of us is at the end of this message, we'll be able to echo the words of the great man of God. And some of you may have heard of this. I'm going to tell you a story about this guy, Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. From now on, I will do whatever he leads me to do, he says. Let me tell you the story here. How great of a statement of faith that how that came about. Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, he was an aristocrat who at the age of 10 was sent to a boarding school in Halle. His teacher was August Hermann Francke, and his mentor was Bartholomew Ziegenbalg, the first Protestant missionary to Asia, because his parents, they didn't want him to become a preacher. He went to study law at Wittenberg. After the study of law, he went on to a grand tour of Europe, the custom for the aristocrats of that day. During his tour, he visited an art museum in Dusseldorf where he saw a portrait of the thorn-crowned Christ. Below the image was the inscription which read, "I have done this for you. What have you done for me?" This made such a profound impression on him that he wrote in his diary, this is what he shared, "I have loved him for a long time, but I have actually not done anything for him. From now on, I will do whatever he leads me to do." My prayer is again, my friends, at the end of our message, all of us will rise up like Zinzendorf and say, "Lord, I will do whatever you lead me to do." What a great day that'd be for us all as individuals who seek to live obedient lives to God. What a great day that'll be for our work together as a church, as a body of Christ. We love each other because of the body of Christ. We are a family of God, and it's in his time that he brings all things together. I want to take a moment to ask the question, do you know what time it is? Is it time to rest or is it time to work? Like Solomon shared with us. Is it time to laugh or is it time to cry? Is it time to give or is it a time to receive? Is it time to pray and be still or speak and move in your lives? What time is it? You may think that's the answer to these questions, you might think to yourself, well, Sandy, it depends on just how I feel. If that's the answer that suits you, then I would encourage you to heed the rest of our message this morning. Solomon, the man of whom the Bible is tagged as the wisest man that had ever lived, said this, "There is an appointed time for everything." Referring to what the scripture that we read together this morning was, that was about time. Psalm 100 that was read to us this morning. Think about it, read it again, that's about time. What Melinda's saying is about time. The time that we have here this morning is about time. If Solomon's right, and I believe that he is, then we must acknowledge that there is an appointed time for everything in our lives. Everything. The real question for us then is this: what time is it? And how do I know what time it is? There is a time for everything, but the real question is this, my friends, where in time are you this morning? Ever thought about that? This morning I hope to be able to share with you the most significant importance of time. You and I will never get to live this last minute over again. Time, it's so valuable that no amount of money can buy it. Over the past week, how have you used your time? Is it a me-centered type of week? Or was it a God-centered type of week? What do I need to do? Where do I want to go? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? What do I want to accomplish in my life? Those are the questions that most of us ask ourselves on a regular basis. But I don't know that they are the questions that hold much validity to God. As a matter of fact, when I look at Jesus' life, and I'm sure when you look at Jesus' life, I see that he withdrew from his buddies every morning so he could what? So he could get away alone with God and pray. And ask God, what do you want me to do today? Do we start our day like that? And when we finish our day, our time in our day, do we thank him for what transpired in that day? Jesus went early in the morning to be alone with God so that he could learn what was on the Father's heart for his day. What was Jesus to do? What was he to teach the people who would come to him? Who was his, how was he supposed to minister as the day unfolded for him? During those early mornings, Jesus drew his strength from the Father so that he could what? So that he could use his time of day to glorify God. One wise person pointed out the importance of fully using the time God had given us to bring glory to God, seen in Psalm 8, instead of wasting it on less important matters. Do we waste our time? He said, if you had a bank account that credited your account each morning with $86,000 that carried over no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep the cash in your account and every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during that day, what would you do? Well, of course you'd draw out every cent every day, wouldn't you? Of course you'd take it all out. And you'd use it to your advantage, whatever you wanted to do. Well, can I share this with you? Did you know that you have such a bank account? And its name is time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you and with me. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss, my friends, is yours and mine. There's no going back. You can't go back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. Psalm 90:12 says this, teach us, you might want to write this down, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Jesus' way of doing things was much different than what comes naturally to us. We get up and whatever we have to accomplish, we do, don't we? Whatever we need to be attentive to, we're attentive to that. Whoever we have an appointment with, what do? We go see them. Friends, before we do anything, we need to come before His presence and find out what is on His heart. I don't know what God has for me or for you, and we need to share this with each other in our lives. We need to share, Lord willing, in your timing. We need to surrender our day to Him every morning that we might be made sensitive to the leadership of His Spirit during that day. When we fail to do this, and I suspect some of us do, we fail that often, then we're finding missed opportunities that God places before us to touch another person's life. And isn't that why you and I are here? Is to touch other people's lives for the kingdom of God? With the love and the mercy of our Lord Jesus? Often we get up in the morning and knowing what's before us, what do? Well, we rush here. We rush into the day and we try to get everything done, as much done as possible, as quickly as possible. We very well might get things all done, but is it what really needs to be done? Did you tithe time? Is it what is on the heart of the Father? Friends, in fact, do you have, I ask you again, do you have the right time this morning? We as North American followers of Jesus have perfected the art of living, stick with me here, living hurried lives. We're in a hurry all the time. Oh, Sandy, I got to do this. I have to do this. I got to get here. I got to do this right now. But we have to ask ourselves if we are living holy lives. Can I ask you, how often have you talked with someone, you'll find this very interesting, how often have you talked to someone on the telephone who seemed to be in such a big hurry and wanted to get on with more important business? Or visited with someone on the street and received that same hurried feeling? You've undoubtedly experienced it at some point. And I'm pretty sure you didn't enjoy it. And perhaps you've also been guilty of this. If you have, can I share something with you? Why not decide to invest tithe time? Save up chunks, bits and pieces of it, and give them away to people who interrupt your pre-established plans. Is it a great principle of love that people don't interrupt? Not really. Perhaps there shouldn't even be such a word as interrupt. For when people come into your existence, even for a brief time, that is a wonderful moment, my friends, of experience for both of you. Oh, friends, relish it, probe it, invest some of the time you have tithed. We can't afford to indulge in the luxury of being too busy and important for another person. We have time for such inanimate things as pieces of mail, going shopping, different things, like, you know, on our iPhones all the time and walking around with the iPhone like this all the time, and I don't know how some of them don't trip and fall when they got it there, but they seem to want to just invest all that time into that iPhone. TV programs and all these other things that you can think about that allows them to become me-centered. But what about relationships with people? Isn't that a great deal of what life is all about? Loving other people? Remember Jesus, how he raced about, hurrying from one city to another, collecting great crowds on the way to give them a few minutes of hurried heaven data, then dashing on to the next place? No, he didn't do that. Friends, that is not the picture of Jesus in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's not the picture of him. He had time for people in a crowd. A woman touched his robe, remember that? Lots of people were probably pushing it against him, touching his robe, but he discerned the urgency in that particular touch. He stopped, and what did he do? He took the what? He took the time for this interruption. His disciples, what were they? Well, they were full of fire and they wanted to get on with it, like a computer life efficiency of some sort. They wanted to get on with the task. Oh, come on, let's go, Jesus. We got to get going here, get something done. Even if they didn't always know what that something was. They didn't even understand. Once a bunch of small children came along and wanted to climb on the master's lap. Remember that? What did the disciples say? Oh, get those kids out of here. Get them gone. No, let them stay, Jesus said. Let's enjoy them and let's just have some time with these children. Dear friends, the next time a person interrupts you, think not of your work and of your deadlines. Rather, think of that person's needs. Desiring to spend a few moments with you. Did you know, I want you to get this, did you know your meeting may be a significant point in each of your lives? Because it's an encounter with another person God has created. You may impart something crucial to their fulfillment, or he or she to yours. Paul prayed this in Romans 15:5, tells us this. May God, who gives patience, steadiness, and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ toward the other. Can I ask you, are you caught up on your tithe time? If we are to use the time God has given us wisely, to make the most out of all the days that he's given us, then we must be able to answer this question. Do you have the right time, knowing what time it is? Friends, do you truly understand the times that we're living in today? Do you understand what is on God's heart for you today? Have you even given it any thought this morning, or did you just simply wake up and begin your day by coming to the chapel today? The issue we're talking about is what is discernment? What about this? How discerning am I concerning God's agenda for my life? Jesus sought to know where God was working in his life and what he wanted for him at the present time. It is this knowledge that Jesus gained by spending time with the Father that enabled him to resist being influenced by others all around him. Friends, that is one of the most distracting aspects in the life concerning doing God's will. We allow others to influence our schedule to the point where we schedule God right out of our lives. I know this to be true more than anybody. They aren't evil enticements. They are good and noble projects that people are working on to bless the lives of others. But if they're not what is on God's heart for your life or my life, then they're bad use of the time God has given us. If we want to live lives that are pleasing to God and be good stewards of time God has given us, then we must understand this, what time it is. Jesus understood his time. He understood God's timing for his life and ministry. When it was time for Jesus to move, he moved. He acted intentionally and with a firm resolve. He acted with the confidence of knowing what he had to spend time with, which was the Father. And here it is, it was God's will for clearly being evident to him for his life. My prayer for us is that we will have the deep desire to know God's will for our lives so that we can, what? So that we can move forward with the same kind of resolve and passion. I need to remind you this morning, and I want you to really understand this. Do you know what time it is in your life? Is God calling you to step forward? Is he leading you to venture out into a new area of ministry that you've never experienced before? For myself, I never thought that I would ever go to seminary, and I've been studying in seminary, and I start back in September, and I never ever dreamt that God would lead me to do that. And I'm really enjoying what it is that he's teaching me through seminary now. I'm thankful for that because it's his time, belongs to him. If he wants me to do that, I will do that. And I trust that's the same for you. If God has something in store for you in your time, listen to his voice and read his word, and that will be a direction for you for sure. Is God leading you to come before his presence? Just as Melinda sang for us this morning, so that he can evaluate the way you use your time and make adjustments where they're necessary in your life? Is God leading you to move from the back pew, if you will, of leadership to the front lines of leading his people into his will and ways? Oh, dear friends, what time is it in your life? I've no doubt that God is speaking your name this morning to all of us. He's desiring that you and me trust him with our time so that he can use it to bring him glory and the others good news of his love, grace, and mercy. Might cost you something. But isn't your eternal rewards worth it? The only factor left to be determined is this. Will you yield to his voice that's calling you in your time? Friends, our time is so short. My dear friends, you'll continue to settle deeper and deeper into your comfort zone, easing your way through life, or will you step out of what you know and feel comfortable with in order to experience the depth of his blessings and purposes in your life? I want to invite you this morning to step out and learn what time it is in your life. I know that it's time for you to receive Jesus Christ, if you haven't, as your Lord and Savior. It's time to do that. It's time to make sure that you're part of the family of God. It's time. Or to rededicate your life in a way that you haven't dedicated before. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time for others. Maybe it's time to pick that telephone up and make an appointment with someone that you need to see. Don't let that time escape you. Will you give him your time this morning? Surrendering the reins of your life, giving up control of your calendars, to give him the final veto, if you will, when it comes to our activities, so that we can begin to live a life as he attends for each of us. Before we call in Melinda, friends, be assured this. God is always on time. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. In the waiting room of life, if you will. You can choose to panic. That's our natural result. For whatever reason, we just want to respond to panic for sometimes in our lives. We tend to focus on what's going on around us. We let our circumstances convince us that, well, there's no reason to wait patiently. No reason to be at peace, to trust, to hope. Some people just throw up their arms and give up. Instead of panicking, you can choose in your life right now to trust God with your time. To be able to do that, you need to remember two things. One is God is not in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. And two, God is never late. God's timing, my friends, is always perfect. What happens in those times where it appears that God is late? God is getting you ready for his purposes of success. He's getting you ready. There are so many examples of this in Scripture, including, excuse me, the story of Lazarus. Remember the story of Lazarus in John 11? Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived where? They lived in Bethany, which was just a few miles where Jesus was on the day Lazarus got sick. They sent word to Jesus, his friend is really sick. They asked him to come right away. Jesus could have easily been there really quick, 2 or 3 hours. Jesus took, how many? Took 3 days to go 5 miles. When he got there, they told him, well, you're late. Jesus, you're late. We've already buried Lazarus. Jesus wasn't late because he already knew what he was going to do. His goal was not to heal Lazarus. His goal was to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' goal was not to make Lazarus get very well and be so healed up that everybody say, oh, I feel a lot better. He wanted to do a miracle here. His goal was to do a miracle of astronomical proportions here. Jesus walked up to Lazarus' tomb, told him to roll the stone away, and said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus did. Sometimes God, my friends, sometimes God lets a situation get so bad that only a miracle will do. I'm trusting this morning that you believe in answered prayer and miracles. God already knows what he's going to do in your life. Tomorrow, next month, next year, and the next decade. And his plan for you, my friends, is good. Don't panic. Don't give up on your faith. Hold on. Keep praying and serving and meeting with God's family. That's what it's all about, is our family of God coming together. Being together, being unified. Keep praying and serving and meeting with God's family. Keep sowing. Keep believing. Give away time. Make investments in the kingdom by what? By serving others. Will you, this morning, invite him in today into your life, allowing him to take control of your time? And secondly, not only allowing God to take control of your time, but making others the focus of your life. Isn't that what Jesus would want you and I to do? He did it. And that's why he gave us our lives together, to invest that time for eternal life, to be with him. Will you do something this week? Would you commit your time to him? Asking God to help you share your precious time for others this week, would you do that? And my dear friends, you will be so blessed for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because he lives.
Because He lives. You have time to praise and honor Him in your lives. Right now you have time. And I don't like to close a message off without having the opportunity to pray for you, for each of you. And I would ask too that if you want prayer, don't leave sanctuary this morning. I'd be happy to pray for you. There's something going on in your life that you need God to deal with. He loves it when we pray for each other. He loves it when we come together. And He loves it when we ask Him to either heal us, change us, or do what it is that we need to get done in our lives. Because our time belongs to Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just take a moment and search your hearts this morning? Where are you at in your life with your time for serving God? Do you have time for Him? Is there some here this morning that would like prayer to say, God, help me with that? Help me with my tithe time that I can serve Him. Is there someone this morning that you're sharing in your heart that I'd be happy to pray for you? Don't leave this morning if God is speaking to some of you, and I believe He is, about your time to serve Him. And Father, I thank You for the opportunity of this time this morning that we could all gather together. And I thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And indeed, He does live. And I trust, O Lord, too, that each and every one here this morning would turn their time over to You and allow You, Father, to lead them, direct them, and guide them. And Father, too, as we go our different ways today, I pray to Your God, too, that this week You will allow, Father, Your Holy Spirit to touch others and give them our time. Give them the time that we want to share with them. And Father, we thank You, too, for this chapel. We thank You for each and every one, for the authority here. And God, I just praise You, too, for these things. In Jesus' name, I ask, too, Father, You'd be with our loved ones, wherever they might be. Put a hedge of protection around them. Bless them and keep them. And may we, O Lord, be Your servants in leading the time that You have left to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.